Hello, listeners, and welcome. So, it's that time of year again when our reptilian eyes are assaulted by twinkling, colorful lights, when our pointy ears are pummeled with cheerful laughter and the fresh pain of carolers. It's a time of year for presents, snow, joy, you know, all the things we hate.
I mean, seeing them all so happy just like, just bums me out, man. Makes me feel like...
No, you go ahead.
No, man, I don't... You go.
I was just gonna say, though, like, some of them seem really depressed during the holidays or whatever. They chuck things into our swamp. A lot of jewelry, a lot of rings, stuff. All sad and anxious and stuff. So that's cool, right?
Yeah, all right, that's cool. That's cool.
But what were you going to say? It makes you feel.
Like we're losing. You know, I see humans happy and like smiling and singing and stuff, and just feel like we're losing.
How would you like to see them?
Well, not singing songs about chestnuts.
At least, like, seeing them run in terror.
Yeah, right? I mean, running in terror, that's just, like, the best.
The best. That's why I can't wait for it to be over. The swamp thaws, they start coming back in here on their own, and then blammo!
No, I figured they'd be done with all that since, you know, that guy who gave out all the presents died?
The guy who, you mean Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. He's dead. We found his skin.
His skin?
You'd be surprised what shows up here in the swamp. Once, we found an astronaut helmet.
We'll show you, man. We got it right here. Dude, just hang on a sec.
See? Here's his skin. It's even got his beard attached. There's the hat. And here are the gifts he was taking to someone. Let's see. Whiskey bottle. Bundle of rope. There you go, some duct tape.
And this sweet axe. Must have been like for a real industrial type dude or something.
And see down there, you can make out his ride, but it's too heavy for us to bring up.
Is that a car?
Yeah, like a 74 Ford, I think.
But doesn't Santa drive a sled?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, there's two Santas?
I mean, there's one Santa left now. I mean,
no, but if there's two, then maybe one he covers the southern hemisphere.
Though we admire Seth and Mark's enthusiasm, it turns out they didn't track down Santa so much as uncover the mysterious disappearance of a wanted serial killer. But it got us thinking, and when we get thinking, look out. The human holidays, whatever they are, don't just take a toll on the young swamp creatures in Minnesota. It affects all of us. Today, on our program, we try to get a handle on this human oddity called the holiday season. From WZMB, Monroeville, distributed by Earbud Theater, it's This Monstrous Life. I'm Ira Slash. Our program today in two acts. In Act 1, writer Jonathan Moldstein heads to the North Pole, straight to the big guy in the red suit. Yep, him. Act 2, Cthulhu Jr. Writer Sarah Disembowell is granted rare access to the self-proclaimed son of the Prince of Darkness. Stay with us. First up, we take you to a place we abhor, a person we detest. I'm talking, of course, about the North Pole and about Santa Claus. We all know who this guy is, right? Jolly, check. Old, check. Elf, yep. He is ridiculously, embarrassingly charitable to humans and the biggest contributor to the holiday cheer syndrome. We sent reporter Jonathan Moldstein to interview Santa and, let's just say, things got crazy. Find out why here in Act 1 of our program, Act 1, the icy cold heart of the problem.
Bell will be ringing! Glad, glad news!
It's been a 7-day journey through a frozen wasteland. As the days pass, it becomes easy to believe this is how it could be on Earth. Empty and cold. No life. No humans. It is bliss. And transformative. Eventually, a red sled piloted by a happy snowman arrives and I hop in. The driver doesn't say anything. Just doffs his top hat and smiles at me. with his gumdrop mouth. Cheerful music rises. We crest a hill, and there in the distance is the twinkling spectacle that is Santa's workshop. As a journalist, integrity and objectivity are paramount. My sworn duty is to observe, report, and let the audience judge for themselves. It's something that we take pride in on this program. Screw that. I'm going to put an end to Santa Claus. One way or the other. The fat man stands outside a castle that looks like it's made of gingerbread, frosting, and candy canes.
Oh, ho, 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 my! Look at you, you're a big one, aren't you? Look at the claws! Come in, come in! Watch your step. Well, steps there, it's icy.
It occurs to me, I don't even have to try and talk him out of it. I could wriggle up behind the man and squeeze. Squeeze the holiday cheer right out of him. One final ho. A vision of millions of crying children dances in my head, and I almost do it. But something strange happens. My lizard brain, usually so reliable, makes me stop. It takes me a moment to figure out why. It's not the hustle and bustle of the castle interior. It's not the elves fluttering around like leaves. It's not the presents, the pyramids of trees, the unicorns of polar bears. It's nothing my compound eyes can see, in fact, but I can smell it. There is something rotten and putrid here.
Come right on in, right through here, that's it. Well, here we are. Here is where it all happens. Well, part of it anyway. There are other bigger toy shops, but this is where the elves work on the high-tech toys. And the toys for the youngsters.
They're fast.
Oh my, yes. This small group turns out nearly as much as the main toy shop further east. These elves have been with me the longest, so they've had all sorts of practice, you see. We have a staff of nearly 1,000, including the singing penguins and the baby polar bears.
Penguins?
We have them imported. No one can sing a holiday tune like a penguin. The music is so merry and it gets the elves
enough,
moving.
Enough! Santa, Mr. Claus, on behalf of the monster community, I demand that you cease operations here at the North Pole.
Beg your pardon, dear lass?
Stop. Or else.
I don't understand.
This, the creation and delivery of gifts to children around the world, it causes...
It causes great joy and cheer.
Exactly.
Oh, I see. We have a cultural, Yes, I see. Well, look, maybe it's not your thing, but...
But what? We see through you. You used to do this anonymously, but now everyone knows you.
Well...
You're no saint.
Well, actually, I am.
You're a big, fat celebrity. It's self-aggrandizing, isn't it? It's all about you.
It may seem that way, and to your point, things have changed over time.
Stop! That's a fallback crutch for you.
It is a crutch, I'll admit that.
So it's all about ego. You're nothing more than a rock star.
A rock star who doesn't promote himself?
Except for one night a year.
A night when nobody sees me.
Cease operations, or suffer the wrath of the monster community. Why are you looking at me like that?
Is that why you're here?
Yes!
Oh, my elves! Great with toys, but they make lousy receptionists. To be fair, they really only have to keep one appointment a year, and it's not like they get a lot of practice.
So?
That's a no.
He turns his back on me. My claws extend. I coil. Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a goodbye.
And here I thought you came to see Jenny.
Who?
Why, Jenny Hanover. The, anti-Claus.
And like that, as if I hadn't just threatened his life, he cheerfully beckons me to follow him. He leads me out of the elf workplace, through an endless network of overly large hallways that are as crowded as a London tube station. Eventually, the mood shifts. Then the herd thins. Not as many fairies or elves here. Just the occasional polar bear. The hallways narrow and finally funnel out until they reach a singular, dark, dead end, whose only feature is a large, crooked, black door that looks like a mouth. And there's no mistaking the source of the foul smell I first noticed when I came in. It is coming from behind this door. Santa, for the first time, seems uncertain.
Well, here it is. Ho, ho, ho.
You don't seem too happy.
Well, this is all very experimental, you see. It's outside of my comfort zone, and I'm not even sure. You'll just have to see for yourself.
The fat man leads me down a slope of pummeled rock that used to be stairs. The place is huge.
It looks like a workshop.
It's a workshop.
What are those?
Well, they used to be elves. Yeah, after a few hundred years or so, some elves just kind of go bad.
They look like rotten apples.
Smell like them, too.
What are they making?
Well, that's a tank of eels. Those are rotten fish heads. And those are buckets of poo. Surprisingly popular gift.
Children want buckets of poo?
I'm not usually one to be critical, but you really are slow on the uptake, aren't you? This place, these gifts, they're for monster children. Your kind. Oh, ho, ho.
I've never heard of this. What? Why?
You remember not too long ago when I had the naughty and nice lists? Naughty children would get lumps of coal? Well, we stopped that. Instead, we gave the naughty children presents too. And you know what? Things got better. The naughty children, they became nicer. They're not naughty because they want to be, most of them. And so when someone, even me, shows them a little love, forgiveness, compassion, it makes them better. It makes them want to be better. So, we extrapolated. We took it further. Thanks to a new, rather unique member of our team.
Who?
Ha!
Jenny.
You like that? You know how you have your ho, ho, ho thing? I think that might be my thing. Ha! You like it?
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
We talked about this. You don't know my people like me. This is my operation.
We did talk about this, and it's not your operation. I'm supervising.
Hey! Who's the blue millipede?
Oh, Jenny Hanover, this is Jonathan Moldstein. He's here to do a radio piece on our horrific holiday operation.
Horrific holiday? That's a dumb name. Wait. Holy Cthulhu! You're on This Monstrous Life?
Yeah.
I listened to that once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah! It's so boring! Oh, man. Are you here to look for a new job? Big Red, can we hook him up?
No, I'm you know, still with the show. I think.
Why?
Well, it's engaging and insightful.
No, it's totally boring. Blah, 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 55 minutes pat on the back, smug outro. Boring.
Jenny, he's here to do a piece on you.
Oh, trying to make it at least a little interesting, eh, Johnny? Chief, can I show him the sled?
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not.
Ugh, you're so cheerful and agreeable, you make me sick. Hey, Big Red. Could you do me a favor and check the Knight Riders? I'm not sure those fiends can tilt my sled full of cargo. I'll show Moldy the sled.
I have no idea what she is. She's bipedal, I think. It's hard to tell because she never stops moving. If a killer clown had a nightmare, she would be it. Santa walks over to a kennel that contains some kind of black horse creatures, and Jenny leads me over toward an enormous sled. Midnight blue with blood orange trim. The house-sized sled floats on an amber cloud of whatever the opposite of fairy dust is. Jenny leaps from one part of the sled to the other. Her hair, which looks like something a clown wig would puke up, flails and flutters, making her look like a demonic jester. She leads me to the back side of the sled. And soon as Santa is out of sight...
Hey, Blue. What are you doing here? Are you trying to blow this?
I don't know.
I don't. Shut up. You think this has been an easy operation? Do you know how punk rock this is? Do you know how Republican Party this is? This is thunder and lightning, Wiggly. This is the big one. I've been working on the inside for 175 years for this, and you're gonna blow it wide open.
What?
I'm taking down the holiday on my own. Full-scale invasion. What? Shh. Fatty over there thinks I'm giving out presents, but no. I've got armies of manufactured devil dolls, demon dolls, and busbies, and we're all gonna steamroll right over the holidays! Bye-bye, human race. We're gonna take it all over! Starting with Maine, because a lot of strange stuff seems to happen there. Clowns and sewers and stuff. Oh! Shh! Shh! Here he comes. Not a word, Moldy. So this whole thing weighs 17 tons and could crush you. But look, it's floating on a cloud. Pure demon sulfur. The Knight Riders will carry it up into the sky, starting at 360 miles per hour. Oh, hey, S-Claws, you check them out?
Yes, Jenny, they're fine. Sturdier than the reindeer.
That's not saying much. You should have named them all Prancer.
She's a hypnotic concoction. Equal parts insanity and revolution. She is truth. And possibility. Every scale of my crusty shell has been brought to life by her. Somehow, I continue with the pretense of the interview, hoping I'm doing well enough not to blow her cover with the Santa who is cheerful, but still vigilant. But I'm not really there. I'm living in Jenny's world. We finally say farewell. And as I leave, she throws me a wink and a grin, each like the business end of a knife. Claus leads me upstairs. All the sensory elements of Santa's workshop return. In a matter of a few steps, Jenny's revolution seems miles away.
Are you okay?
I tell him I'm fine. He seems to know that I'm lying. He motions for me to follow and leads me up a flight of stairs above the workshop. It's very calm and quiet in the hallway. He opens a door that leads onto the balcony overlooking the whole operation. It twinkles and glistens below. There's a real sense of power up here. And I wonder how he could ever jeopardize it by letting someone like me or Jenny into his world. But then I realize, he didn't.
You overheard us talking?
No. No, that would be rude. Let's just say I know Jenny and that I've taken certain precautions. She doesn't know it, but she's already changed the world for the better. It may have been a means to an end, but it was her idea to stop giving coal to the bad kids. The change, Jonathan, was dramatic. If you tell a kid they're bad, they'll stay bad. But if they know that someone out there believes in them, maybe even loves them, they can change. Some even do.
So Santa Claus believes in monsters. You know, monsters and kids are very different.
I wouldn't be too sure. Look, there she goes.
The blue and gold sled flies into the air, trailing a swath of pure black midnight, a dark scar blotting out starlight. Jenny can be heard cackling as she loops back around, flying right over us.
Maybe that is a good catchphrase.
So the devil dolls and demon dolls...
Some tucked away in storage. We occasionally have problems with goblins up here. They could come in handy. The rest we'll dump in a swamp somewhere.
So what's she carrying?
Not coal, Jonathan. Not coal.
How? How did you know all this about me and about Jenny?
Because, kid, I'm f***ing Santa Claus.
He offers to let me stay a few days, but I tell him I have to leave. As I'm wriggling into the sled, he hands me a fetid, oozing bag of fish heads. I can't help but smile, and this sets him off laughing. The sled takes off, and he's still laughing. Soon it's just the snowman driver, me, my gift, and a really good feeling. Sometimes, Maybe it's not bad to feel good.
We take you now from the North Pole, never let it be said we don't go to the ends of the earth for our listeners, to an undisclosed but fiery location quite the opposite of the North Pole. Here, Sarah Disembowell was granted a rare interview with the Great Dark One, actually the controversial son of the Great Dark One. More in Act Two of our show, Cthulhu Jr.
Now I lay me down to rest. I'll try tomorrow to be a pest, to terrorize and cause unrest. Hail to the King of Nothingness! Like a lot of you, I remember this bedtime chant from when I was a hatchling. Our elders told us that Cthulhu would return from his slumber in Sunken Relia. And when you're young, it's easy to believe that at any moment his misshapen form could rise and swallow all life from Earth. But, like a lot of you, we stopped believing. We all reached that age where the whimsy of the story couldn't hold a candle to the reality we lived in. As if a being we'd never seen would magically appear and make everything right? Grant our fondest wishes in an instant, achieving what we monsters couldn't, not in thousands of years? I mean, Jesus Christ. So, like most of you, I was skeptical when the creature who calls himself the Spawn of Cthulhu arrived on the scene declaring himself the leader of the final war against humanity. Where did he come from? Who does he think he is that will just believe?
Well, I'm just like you. Abandoned. He is our father in a spiritual sense, but in my case, he's actually my dad, you know?
Why reveal yourself now? Why hide in the first place?
Second question first. Why hide? Are you kidding? Pressure? Expectation? Uncertainty? I'm the Dark Lord's only son. All eyes would be looking at me, and I would look to what? Nothing. Because he was gone. Where was the guidance? The mentoring? At one moment you're playing catch with your old man and everything's great. The next he's gone out to grab a pack of smokes. I'll be back, wait for me. Yeah, right. Hope you're having a good slumber in Sunken Relia, Dad. Because some of us are slogging it out here in reality. So, yeah, you'll pardon me if I was a bit hesitant about putting myself out there. As for why now? Because enough is enough. He's gone, plain and simple. We've waited a couple thousand years for him to return. Well, screw that. He ain't coming back to lead us to the promised land. We're making our move. I'm taking the reins. Would I like to walk side by side with my father into the breach? Of course. But that ain't happening. It's up to us. It's up to me.
Let me back up for a moment. Upon approaching Cthulhu Jr., one can't help but see the family resemblance. Though much smaller, his size is still oppressive. And much like the creature he calls his father, it's nearly impossible to describe him in detail. There are eyes, there are tentacles, claws, and wings, but the fluidity of his appearance makes it maddening to describe. For certain, he's horrific. In his presence, it's easy to believe. Whatever it is, he's got it. The location of his lair helps sell the spectacle as well. A hellish landscape, two parallel dimensions over. Real estate that takes a significant pull to attain. So how do you respond to your critics? Those who say you're a charlatan?
I haunt their dreams and drive them insane. Then I swallow their souls and excrete them into a hellscape dimension.
But you do understand where they're coming from.
Look, that was the old me, raging, taking on all comers with something to prove. Devouring people's souls was a cry for help, right? But to who? No one. To the void. Sometimes the most obvious thing is the most difficult to accept. And it's not like my behavior did anything to cement my reputation in the monster community. If anything, it fed the skeptics. But that's behind me. I know what I am now. I have it together.
And how did that happen? There are rumors of therapy.
Silence! Details are unimportant. Suffice it to say, my greatest insecurity was also what set me free. He's not coming back became he's not coming back. And in that, freedom. Thus, we forsake our faith in empty promises. We embrace the now. This is the eve of our uprising. This is the eve of destruction. Why now? Because I say so. Rise, my followers.
What, like right now?
Rise, children of darkness. Unfurl your wings. Unleash your claws. Bloody your teeth. Stomp on the earth, for tonight we march. Tonight is our symphony of terror. Tonight. What is that?
Damn it! Cheap piece of junk. It's like it's got a mind of its own.
This isn't Maine.
Where the hell am I? Who are you?
I'm...
Hey, you're that religious kook!
Silence!
Hey, nobody tells me to silence.
How dare you interrupt on this, the time of our glorious revolution! Oh, seriously, though, how did you get here?
I don't know. I'm a good enough pilot, but it wouldn't go where I wanted. It's like the sled just angled itself here. Wait, did you say revolution?
Indeed.
Ha! Me too! High five, brother! Whoa, how many fingers you got there? Let's save the high five. I'm not even sure that's a hand. But hey! Overthrow of the human race, right?
Utter destruction and darkness.
Oh, you're singing my tune! Have I got something for you, my slimy pal? What the hell is this? I've been robbed.
What is that?
It ain't hundreds of demon dolls, I'll tell you that. It's a stinking present. Ugh, it's got a tag. Is this you, Slimy?
Those are the markings of my given name, which no one dare utter.
Hell, I don't even understand the language, but if it's yours, here.
Well, what do I do with it?
You open it, you tear the wrapping paper off to find out what's inside. What in the nine levels is that?
Be gone.
There's a note right there. What's it say?
I said leave! And you two, get on your whatever it is and leave this place before I smite thee.
Aw, what about the revolution?
It's coming. But not today.
Fraud.
Are you okay, sir?
Come on, Squirt. Let's leave the big guy alone. I'll give you a ride back to our dimension. Looks like this is a wash. What a night, man. Ugh, what a drag. So, what was that all about? Weird, huh? Could you read that note?
Yes. It said, side by side.
Huh.
We lift off into the starless void. I turn and take one last look at Cthulhu Jr. If a thing like him can have any other expression beyond horror, it's melancholy mixed with something else.
Who are you talking to?
Shh! I puzzle over the contents of the package. It is a large mass of tan leather stitched together with more tan leather. I know its smell, but naggingly I can't place it. The look of it's familiar, but... A slight tremor and light snow begins to fall, which means we return to our dimension. A distant memory of a spring day hits me, and I place the smell. Linseed oil. I remember him high-fiving Jenny, and I realize the present exactly matches his hand. The present is a glove. A baseball glove.
sweet, 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 sweet fire in the street.
Sarah Disembowell is a journalist and nightmarish interdimensional wraith. Big thanks to everyone who helped out with this program. Special thanks to Earbud Theater for airing this episode of This Monstrous Life. For This Monstrous Life, I'm Ira Slash. Thanks for listening.
Okay, I'm going to read the credits.
I'm
going
to read the credits.
Okay, I'm going to read the credits. This Monstrous Life production of Earbud Theater was made with the assistance of the University of Texas at Austin Semester in Los Angeles program.
This Monstrous Life, written and directed by Casey Wolf.
Produced
by Brannon Coluccio.
Aaron Drown, Nicholas Thurkettle, cool name.
Casey Wolf, and Matt Torlucio.
The cast, in order of appearance,
Matt Hill as Ira Slash,
Cornell Reed as Seth,
Daniel Bush as Mark,
Terry Scannell as Jonathan Moldstein, Matthew Henderson as Santa Claus, Romy Dames as Jenny Hanover, a.k.a. the Anti-Claus,
Ashley Russo as Sarah Disembowell, Cthulhu. It's pronounced Cthulhu.
And Nicholas Thurkettle as Cthulhu Jr.
Hang on. My husband is breathing very loudly. Oh, God, he just stopped breathing. Poor guy. Okay, can breathe. Just breathe the other way.
Soundscapes created by Ethan Lewis, Joel Strubhar, and John Costello.
Production assistance by Vincent Brown.
The music used in this episode is Sleigh Ride by... Wait, no.
Sleigh Ride by the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Please Come Home for Christmas by James Brown.
We Need a Little Christmas by the Peppermint Candy Kids. That's candy with a K.
Coventry Carol, choro vocal artist.
The Kinks, Father Christmas. Django Reinhardt gave us Blue Drag, The New Pornographers, Streets of Fire,
and the immortal classic Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Spot art for this episode created by the talented Kevin McKee Shaw.
This episode was edited and mixed by the amazing, amazing Craig Good, who logged a tremendous amount of editing hours. No elves were harmed in the making of this episode. Thank goodness.
Be sure to subscribe to Earbud Theater on iTunes, and if you're feeling generous, write us a review.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy freaking holidays.
Cool. All right, let me know if I need to redo this.
Happy holiday. Should be happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Stay warm. Stay alive.
Happy freaking holidays.
You know, happy long December. Wait, is that the song, Counting Crows? Anyways, happy end of the year.
Hey, everybody. Happy holidays. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And thanks.